David.
It's Nick with the Ricky and the Vet podcast.
And on this episode today, Nick put out a poll to our listeners of the podcast, to our followers of Instagram, asked them a simple question. What would you like to hear discussed on the Rookie and the Vet podcast? You got some really great answers, Nick. I'm going to turn it over to you and let's see what we can dive into today.
Sounds good, David. Yep. So today we're going to be talking about expectations when starting a business.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know David has a lot of experience in this realm, hence the name The Vet. So we're going to be kind of volleying back and forth between him. He's going to have a lot of great insight in this.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the thing about starting a business is a lot of it sometimes, of course, depends on what type of business it is. Are you starting a service-based business? Are you starting a product-based business? The different answers of the questions develop from that question first. And then, you know, are you wanting to get into major distribution? Let's say, for example, you want to give Walmart a run for its money. There is a lot of different answers to that. Then there are, you just want to start out being a local photography company that takes pictures of pets in your, right, in your community, right? Yeah. As an example.
You have to, the first and foremost important thing, I believe, when starting a business is to set a goal, to have a goal, to have an understanding of your market, where you want to be, and what goals you have for your business. Not every business is going to be the same. For myself, I'm selling a service. For David as well, I believe that, I don't want to speak for David's behalf, but I believe that you're marketing a service.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we offer a service. There are, of course, different products that we use in order to provide our services through entertainment, but at the end of the day, it's still an entertainment service provider. And you know, you're right in the sense that some people really want to have this big, grandiose business and some people not so big. I think the main thing to remember is you got to do the research. You have to understand, you know, is this something that's even viable in the market that I live within?
Right.
Most people would say yes to just about any business, but the problem is how much, you know, competition is there out there? There's a lot of discussions on that. Heck, we could do a podcast just about that alone, I'm sure,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I actually read a quote the other day that said, if you're meant to do this, then it doesn't matter how much competition is out there, you'll still find a way to be able to do what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and especially as somebody who's new, a fledgling coming into the market, you know, my passion for what I have and for what I enjoy doing, you know, I believe that I will find a way to make it in the market.
To succeed, sure.
Right.
And I think sometimes you just have to understand that you have to crawl before you walk, you have to walk before you run.
Right.
You know, I think in one of our previous podcasts, we talked about how the example of the 0 to 100 and everybody, you know, nowadays it seems like they want to take that one giant step from 0 all the way up to 100 and forget about steps 1 through 99. And I think the topic about what we're talking today really is those 1 to 99 steps. Not to say that there's 99 quote unquote things you have to do, but in the example that we're using, I think this stuff today really is the first, you know, set of steps in that process.
Right. The first and foremost, most important thing is the skill or the service that you're providing has to be up to a certain standard.
Sure.
I know that if I were to try to market my videography service 3 years ago, there would have been no way because my physical skill set was not where it needed to be marketable.
Yeah, and you know, I think to some extent that probably is right, probably makes a little bit of sense. But the funny thing about it is you probably still could, if you were good at marketing, you probably
right.
still could find some
That's
customers,
the thing,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
So the funny thing about being a small business, so this is an area that obviously, you know, I obviously have a lot of experience in is being a small business. I don't have experience in being, and I'm not going to profess to even understand the process of running a major multi-billion dollar company. I know I said Walmart earlier or
right.
somebody like that. Like, there are so many complexities to that. There are so many different layers of personnel and procedures and policies and so forth when it comes to something like that. But you know, we really are kind of addressing more of that small business, that kind of maybe one owner or maybe husband and wife ownership type of a business, or maybe two people get together as partners and decide to open their business. I think that's really kind of more what we're talking about. And I think from that standpoint, probably the biggest thing that people overlook or maybe they think about it, but they don't really understand it until they get into the weeds with it, is that when you are a sole proprietor or when you are a small business and there's only two or three of you, you know, doing everything, think about that. That makes you the owners, the operators, the marketers, the advertisers, mm-hmm. the salespeople, the troubleshooters, the customer service, the product or service providers. I mean, I've already named seven or eight things alone right there.
There's a lot of overlap.
And you've got one or two people handling all of that stuff. And I think that a lot of times what happens is people are really passionate about whatever it is, the service it is that they provide or whatever the product. Let's say, we'll take you for example.
Right, yeah.
Videography is your passion. You love videography and you spend, and I know this for a fact, that you spend countless of hours not only doing it, but learning to perfect it and make it even better.
Right.
We do the same thing on our end in the entertainment company. We have continued training all the time with our staff. You know, we practice, you know, MC skills. We practice transitioning music skills. We practice putting all that together and having somebody who's an MC and a DJ, two people, one event, work together synergistically like it's one person doing it, but they can almost look at each other and read each other's minds and understand what's going on. Like, that stuff doesn't happen just overnight. So a lot of people, especially in our world in the event industry, a lot of people, they get really, 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 really good at whatever it is, the product or service that they're providing is, but they haven't really taken the time either to learn or understand all, I said eight earlier, so the other seven aspects. If you've never had any experience or you've never had any formal education in those things, the only other way to learn it is to by, you know, kind of hook or not hook or crook, but necessarily more so like, you know, just learn as you go. And that's a scary way to do things. But a lot of people in our industry do that.
I noticed that a lot of what I've been doing in the past 4 months has been learning as I go and kind of perfecting that from where I started and just continuing to develop my strategy for my business. I notice a lot of the stuff that I'm trying to learn, I can find on the internet. I notice that there's some courses that I've been looking into that have kind of helped me as well. But like David said, a lot of the stuff that I've been doing so far has just kind of been learning from experience and kind of going in that direction.
And to some extent, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. But I think a lot of times there's this pressure. Maybe it's a society pressure. Maybe it's, social media is really, it helps, but it also hinders because you can easily jump on your social media account. And if you're following people that do things that you do, whether locally, and actually, if you think about it, it's twofold. So if you're following people locally and you're seeing what they're doing, that is a really good opportunity, but good is probably not a great word, actually. It's really a bad opportunity, if you will, to find yourself going down the wrong path mentally because you see these people working and you're like, man, I'm not working yet, or I'm not, you know, I don't have these relationships. Or you may see them working. Let's say, for example, again, I'm going to use examples from our world all the time because it's what we work in all the time. But let's say that you see a venue or a wedding planner and they're posting things from events and they're listing off the other vendors that are working, and you see your competitor a lot. Mm-hmm. You're like, I know that wedding planner, or I know that venue. Why am I not getting more business there? And that is a question that can really be answered by a variety of different ways, most of which, quite honestly, are not the fault, if you will, of that venue or that wedding planner.
Right.
They're more so on what have you done
to market
to
yourself,
put yourself in a position to be able to be listed on that with those folks. So that's from a local standpoint. From a broader standpoint, if you're looking at other people around the country that are doing things that you're doing, I think that there is some value in doing that because it's great for inspiration. It's great for seeing something and saying, hey, that's really cool. I want to learn how to do that. But I think you also have to be very careful and understand and realize that unless you know and really are aware of the skill level, the experience that the person that you're looking at has compared to you, they may be doing things that are at a level that you are not at yet.
Right.
And so you can't get discouraged by it. You can't get frustrated by it. You really should use it to inspire you.
Right, exactly. There was a great quote that I came across maybe a week or two ago, and it was essentially saying that comparing yourself to another person, you might be comparing yourself to someone who's at a completely different point in their life and in their work than you are. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think it's really, really dangerous to try to even compare yourself as, oh, she's doing or he's doing, you know, what I want to be doing. But it's like, oh man, like I'm not doing that, or I need to do this or that. And it's like, you don't know where they're at in their timeline, in their experience. You know what I mean? So I think it's really, really, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I think it can be inspirational to look at people who have accomplished a lot. But at the same time, I think you need to kind of take it with some context. Like, okay, they've been in the industry for a longer amount of time. They've been doing this for longer, or whatever it may be. And then how can I physically bring myself to a point where I'm on that level?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think we've said it before, and it's no secret, you and I are big fans of Gary Vee and a lot of the stuff that Gary Vee talks about. And, you know, one of the things that he's talked about a lot recently that really resonates with me is that somewhere along the line, it's kind of become this lost art of apprenticeship. You know, if you want to learn how to do something, don't be the CEO the day you wake up you want to do it. You know, find somebody
who's doing it
and pay your dues and learn.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with you being a, you know, like in the photography world, there's nothing wrong with being a second shooter and learning from somebody who is at the point where you want to be at some point in time. Same thing in video. I know you guys probably have times where you have to have a second shooter or a third shooter even.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And if you are a brand new business, even if you're a little bit of an established business, that you can never stop learning. You can never stop growing. So even once you've kind of established yourself a little bit, there's still nothing wrong with collaborating with other people that are doing what you're doing and finding ways to maybe improve your craft. It helps you. It helps them. It helps the industry as a whole. But the most important thing is it's you analyzing and realizing, which is what our topic is about today, which is, you know, hey, what is it that we need to really realistically look at doing in the very beginning of the stages of our business? And there's a huge, huge, huge difference between being somebody who does photography, videography, a DJ, doing it because you like it.
Right.
And then that day when you say, I want to make this a business. Very two different things.
Very different.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few moments. You're listening to the Rookie Invent Podcast. All right, guys, we're back. You're listening to the Rookie Invent Podcast. This is an exciting episode. What else you got for us, Nick?
We're going to go over marketing plans, two-sentence tests, SWOT analysis, some of those types of things.
Excellent. Let's start off with marketing plan.
Okay.
You know, I think marketing plan, the number one thing about marketing plan, at least what I've learned over the time frame, is really before you can create a marketing plan, you got to figure out who you're marketing to.
Absolutely.
Your ideal client, who are they? There's a lot of information out there. You mentioned earlier about how many resources there are out there on the internet in different places. There is a endless resources of information when it comes to marketing. And one of the biggest things that really revolutionized my understanding of how to properly do things was identifying your client. Okay, so let's take our industry, for example, the wedding industry. It would be easy to say that our client is a bride and groom, right?
Right.
But a bride and groom is millions and millions and millions of, you know, like that's super, super vague. And so really you want to narrow it down even more. Okay, so let's say we want a bride and groom that is in their early 20s to mid 30s.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a little bit better.
Yep.
Okay, but still, that's still too broad, right? So now let's narrow it down again. We want a bride and groom that's in their early 20s to mid 30s who's both have college degrees and full-time jobs.
Right.
Right? That's narrowing it down even more.
Yep.
And then you just keep niching it down like that. You know, for example, where do they like to shop? That might be something that's important to you.
Absolutely.
Where do they like to spend their time? Do they like to go out to nightclubs? Do they like to go out to dinner? If they like to go out to dinner, what restaurants do they go to? And this is you saying what you want your ideal client to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What kind of music do they listen to? What are they, you know, what is their income bracket? That might be important to you. Yep. If you're offering a service, it's on a higher level or a luxury level is kind of a buzzword that a lot of people use in our industry, then you have to market to a client that can afford you in the first place.
Absolutely.
You see what I mean? If you're marketing to a client that can't even afford you, you're going to sit there and be like, how come I'm not ever doing any business? Well, that's part of the reason, because you're marketing to a client that can't even afford you in the first place. So, you know, all of those factors really come into play. You can even narrow it down on social media. What pages or what groups are they involved in on social media? Mm-hmm. Like, the more you niche it down, the more you will understand who your ideal client is, and then your marketing message will be developed to appeal them. to target those folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And another important point, David, that I think needs to be made is you need to be thinking about this in the first place. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Absolutely. When I was first starting out my business, I wasn't even thinking about the really niche type of things like where they shop or where they spend their time. You know, where you spend your time is such an important part about how I can target my market to make my service as marketable as I can to these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I think when you're able to do that, then your message starts to change, you know. And this is a prime example of the things I'm talking about. You can be really, really good at your craft, but you even said yourself, these are things you didn't even think about in the beginning. And I almost say that is another perfect example of, you know, when society and when different areas of social media and things like that just tell you to go out and be your own boss, they don't tell you go out and be your own boss. And oh, by the way, you need to understand marketing. And oh, by the way, you need to understand product analysis. And oh, by the way, you need to understand what a profit and loss statement is. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. You're in a completely different realm when you have to put pen to paper and start really making a legitimate plan for your business and how that business is not how you're going to market yourself. What is it worth? What is it worth in the marketplace? And then how that's going to translate to clients.
I would definitely challenge that, you know, creating this ideal client is probably the very first thing you really want to do.
Yeah.
Because think about this. What's the sense in making a website? What's the sense in making a logo? What's the sense in making collateral like business cards and all these different items? Like, what's the sense in making all those things?
Absolutely.
If you do it, you know, reverse engineer it or do it in reverse, not necessarily reverse engineer it, but do it in reverse, and then you realize, well, hell, this website doesn't even appeal
exactly
to that clientele in the first place.
In the beginning of my business that I'm in, I'm realizing that, man, the first thing that I realistically should have done was put a business plan together. I was so excited about the opportunity to have my own business and to make my service, you know, marketable, that I didn't really, I should have, there's a lot of things that I should have done before the fun stuff, like a website. You know, putting a website together is fun. You know, it's creative and that kind of stuff. You know, business cards, you know, that kind of stuff, before I really should have put a business plan together. And that's kind of one thing that I regret in this very early stages of my business, is that I didn't really put a business plan together, have a target market, have a target client, and then how can I market my product and service to those people.
I think the good thing, though, is that, you know, you are new, you are fresh, you do have the ability to reinvent that, you do have the ability to you know, to really make those adjustments so that, you know, so that you can start going towards that target client that you're looking for. And I mean, even for us, as long as we've been in business, like, we've gone through some evolutions of, you know, of our presentation to the world of who we are. I mean, I laugh and think about some of the websites that we had in the beginning, and I'm like, man, if that was ever an example of, here's the client I want, but here's the client I'm marketing to.
Right.
Man, some of the old stuff that we had. Now, granted, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the amount of time we've been in business, we literally were in business when websites first started.
Wow.
So sometimes the capabilities of what you had then versus what you have now, you know, vastly different. Obviously.
You can fine tune your website
but
now.
But even like the wording, you know, even some of the wording, I go back and I think about some of the wording that we had on there and the message that we had on there didn't really speak to the client that we were looking for. So,
right.
it totally evolves. It totally evolves. We've gone through several different evolutions of our business and
right.
who we're trying to cater to. So it's not like a one and done. It's not exactly. something you just fix immediately.
Yes.
You know?
You're going to continue to evolve as your business kind of evolves. And I think an important thing to remember is that you aren't where you start. You're always going to continue to, you know, change and modify and evolve in that way. So I think that's a really good point. The next thing I was thinking we could talk about was probably a SWOT analysis. I don't know if you're familiar with that, David.
I'm not super familiar with that. So let's hear about that.
Essentially, a SWOT analysis, when you're creating a plan for your business, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So your strength essentially is what your business is strong at. So for example, my business, I am strong at, I can produce a really cool, neat looking video. I'd say that's probably my strength. What's my weakness? My weakness is definitely marketing myself, my business mind, those types of things. Opportunities would be, what opportunities can I find to grow into in the marketplace? And then threats would be any threats that you have, either competitors or technology.
All right, so I want to put together a little bit of a exercise, if you will, or a little bit of a homework, if you will, for our listeners. And this is this whole theory of SWOT. So let's go over these again one more time, Nick, if we can. So
sure.
S stands for
strengths.
Strengths. So what are the strengths that you individually have? So
right.
take some pen and paper out. Write these down, and write down twofold. What are the strengths that you actually have as a creative person, as a business owner,
yes.
as an individual who wants to get into whatever it is that you're getting into. So that's what the S is going to be for. The next one is W, right?
Right. Weaknesses.
Weaknesses, right? So same thing. Write down what your weaknesses are. And this is where you got to get real. It's easy for people to brag and say, oh, I'm really strong at this and
right.
really good at that. It's not so easy to do it when you talk about your weaknesses. But I will challenge that it's probably even more important to be honest with yourself about your weaknesses, because that's how you can learn how you can improve. The best thing about it is typically the things that you feel that you're weak in, there's something or someone out there that can help you get better at those things. But you have to first understand and know that you actually do have something you need help with.
Right. And it's a hard thing to do. It can be a hard pill to swallow. But I mean, the first thing that I had to look at was, man, I'm great on the creative side. My business practices, marketing, all of those things, I really need help and working on those things.
All right, what's the next letter?
Next one is opportunities.
Opportunities. So O for opportunities. So think about the opportunities that are available to you. Now, here's some examples of those opportunities that to me make sense. Educational opportunities. Where can you go find education? Can you, you know, are there programs offered
right.
through your local college that maybe are kind of those one-off classes or not really necessarily about getting a college degree, but they're more specific to one different thing or another? You know, are there people in the area that offer any kind of, you know, training, whether paid training or free training
yeah.
or you know, maybe a trade out, maybe you go work for them. Again, here comes that apprenticeship thing again. Are there opportunities for you to apprentice with somebody
right.
to learn?
Yeah.
What are the opportunities that are available to you to strengthen yourself so that your strengths start to outweigh your weaknesses and that foundation that you're building to launch your business? We haven't even started your business yet, right?
Yeah.
These are just,
yep.
this is just addressing these things before you even launch that
right.
business, all right?
Yep.
So that's the O, that's the opportunities. And then what's the last one?
Last one we got is threats.
Threats, absolutely. T, so T is for threats. Think about what the threats are. Those threats could be some very interesting threats that you've never thought about.
Right.
Let's take our industry, for example. We work in the event industry. Most of the time, we work on the weekends.
Yep.
That's typically the opposite of a lot of folks, you know, work life. A lot
right.
of folks' work life is Monday through Friday. They got the weekends to go crazy, go wild, and then hashtag Monday morning, we start it all over again, right?
Yep.
You know? Now, you have to really think about this. Are you in a relationship? Are you married? Do you have a spouse? Do you have a family? is that going to be a threat to you doing a business, something like ours? Now, I want, you know, that might sound negative for a minute, and, and it's not really, you're necessarily talking bad about your family or your spouse or your loved one. It's that, is your involvement in this type of an industry where they're going to be working during the week, you're going to be gone on the weekends.
Right.
Is that going to put too much of a strain on that relationship? Is that going to put too much of a burden on the important things in life, which is also your family and everything else that goes on? That's something you really need to think about.
And it's not something that you think about off the bat, you know what I mean? The first thing I think about with threats is competitors, but these are, they're all types of underlying threats that you need to really think about when starting your business. All these things that you wouldn't normally think about, I think you definitely have to take into consideration.
Another thing you need to think about from the standpoint of a threat is your financial needs, your financial requirements.
Yep.
You know, when you first start off, you're not, it's not going to be the old, you know, build it and they will come type of a thing.
Absolutely.
You know, people see on the internet, and I remember like YouTube is like the biggest example of this.
Yep.
People see like these overnight successes.
Yep.
And nobody really ever gets to see all the hard work and all the, you know, ramen noodles and all
right.
the peanut butter sandwiches
yep.
and sleeping on couches and all that other stuff that most of those quote unquote overnight success people had to do
before
they got to show you that they were a overnight success.
Yep.
Let's be honest, that struggle is not sexy. So that's why it's not shown. People, you know, people don't want to see that.
Right.
People should see that though.
You know what I mean?
So you got to think about that. Like, am I going to be able to financially sustain whatever my life is in the process of building this new business and building this new venture?
Right.
And am I creating a business plan financially that will sustain me being able to do so?
Absolutely.
It's great to just come in into any business and say, oh, you know, my significant other works and they make good money, so quote unquote anything I make is just gravy, or it's just spending money, or it's just vacation money or whatever. But the reality of it is that when you come into it with that mindset, you're immediately diminishing and depleting the actual overall value of that particular service and or product in the workspace.
Right.
And so it's something that really should be taken into consideration, and making sure that you're creating a business plan. Now, I'm not saying just immediately come in and be the most expensive person in the world, but come in with the understanding of a fair market price, a reasonable market price, somewhat of a standardized market price, if you will, to help make sure that the business as a whole strengthens. I know we talked about in one of our other podcasts about, you know, putting all your competitors out of business and stuff like that. And there's not, you know, that sounds good from a rah, rah, let's go get them standpoint.
Yeah.
But from a sustainability of what you really want to do standpoint, it's not always the best, you know, it's not always the best deal. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to be super successful at what you do, but that success is not necessarily always best come by the depletion of everybody else.
Right. Absolutely. Very good points. All right. How much time we got left, David?
I think we got time to knock one more out. Let's see what we got.
All right. We got the last thing that we need to discuss is something called the two-sentence test. And this is essentially the final kind of ribbon and bow on your marketing plan. So something that's really, really important in the business realm is how quickly and effectively you're able to pitch your product or service.
Got it.
So essentially, you've heard of the elevator pitch.
Sure.
It's pretty much similar to that. What would you say about your business that you, in two sentences, would get you that sale?
Wow.
It's tough.
That is tough. Two, can they be like run-on sentences?
Right. It's a quick deliverable. If you had to sum up Y Entertainment in two sentences.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to do.
No, I mean, I think just off the top of my head, if I had to sum it up in two sentences, I would say we are a multifaceted entertainment company that provides services for clients that are looking for an event that they can't get from anyone else. We're passionate and we love what we do, and we're there to help make sure that we exceed our clients' expectations. That's not bad, but you know that. But be honest with you, the more I think about listening to what I just said, it's very cliche. It's very like every business is going to say the same thing,
yeah.
right? So being put on the spot,
It's hard.
It is tough. It's hard. You know, so it is something that you might really want to sit down and think about.
It's definitely something that you need to think about. Like, I've been thinking about it. I still don't have something.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest. Most of the time we have a little bit more of an opportunity than two sentences. But it's still, you know, people call it USP, your unique selling point.
Yep.
This is all kind of part of what we're talking about here. And I think it is important to really... And that's where going back and niching down. So see, for me, thinking about what I just said there, I would niche down, like, what does that client really want to really look like?
Right.
You know, I think that could two sentences that I use could be refined by defining my client a little bit better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another assignment I would say for our listeners.
Sure.
How would you, if you have a... idea or a business, or you're looking into getting into the business space, what does your two sentence pitch sound like?
Yeah, really think about that. Really. Absolutely. See, can you identify and define what that looks like so that you're already going into
the direction
you want to be going into. So go ahead. Sorry.
That'll kind of help you with your business plan too, and understanding the market that you want to be in, is I would say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I think that the number one thing that we want to make sure everybody understands is by no means are we marketing experts. By no means are we, you know, neither one of us are, you know, have any formal education in that world. But I do have kind of the street education of yep. the 20 years of running the business and learning the things I've learned. And a lot of the advice that I now try to give to people is advice that I wish I could have given to the 20 years ago when I started my business myself.
And
you know what I mean?
I'm lucky that I get to kind of absorb some of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because I feel like if I had done that, how much, you know, further along would my business potentially have been?
Right.
You can never look backwards. You can never, you know, you can only learn from what your past has occurred in your past. And hopefully either make your future better or help somebody else make their future better. So that's part of the purpose of this podcast, is to hopefully help people that are out there.
Absolutely.
That are on the very, very beginning stages of themselves and what they want to do from a business standpoint or from even just an idea. Maybe you're not even in, you might even just be the conceptual idea of, I wonder if I could do X.
Yeah.
And then whatever X is. All of these things that we've talked about today are things that could really help you maybe get closer to the answer of that question.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's a good stopping point for us on this episode, man. This has been a lot of fun. I had a great time talking about it. I hope you did too.
Absolutely.
And I hope our listeners got something out of it.
Some value, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Looking forward to the next one. So until then, you guys have a great day, and thank you for listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast.
All right. Take care, y'all.